Now, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read from verses 1 through 9 and then 18 through 23, which is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Jan shared with me a story that she was reading. I don't know if it was in the newspaper or on Facebook. It was about an expert in church planting and church growth. Now, you would think that this guy would know how to make a church grow, right? His church closed. No more members. They were all gone away, death, movement, whatever. And he said something that I think is pretty profound in today's world. He said, it's not your fault. It's not the church's fault. It's the culture's fault. Because people are not coming to church. So here's a man who knew the methods, the procedures of church growth. But he's saying, doesn't matter what you do. The culture is just saying no. Now, this is where the pastor gets to gripe a little bit, because I remember being in seminary and you almost got the impression, if you were a true leader, you could go into whatever situation and that church would magically grow. And you know what? Doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. I remember they were telling us you got to have a purpose statement, do all this stuff. So, yeah, we had purpose statement. First church I was in didn't help. No. I did all that stuff about going around and visiting and seeing people and leaving my card that I was the minister at the Presbyterian Church. You know what one person did right after I left? Because I caught her out of the corner of my eye, threw the card away. We have a problem. And often what happens is people blame the church, the minister. There's always someone to blame, except for who really is to blame. And that's what we want to look at today in this parable. Let's read what Jesus says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And then let's drop down to verses 18 through 23, where he explains the parable. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. They quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word. Help us to understand not only the word, but this world and what is going on in people. Have mercy upon your people this morning. I make this prayer in his name. Amen. John Maxwell is a Christian leader, and he told the story of two girls, two sisters. Now, one sister turned out to love swimming. She loved to go to the practices, and she turned out to be a very good swimmer. And she got the accolades from it, her name in the newspaper. But the other girl, well, she didn't like swimming, and she wasn't willing to pay the price. So one day, the father says to the young girl who didn't like swimming, he asks her, "Wouldn't you like to work hard and get your name in the paper?" Here was the response: "Dad, I'd rather sit here and eat cookies and drink milk the rest of my life." Now, two children, same household. Two different paths they have chosen. Now, that happens a lot in life, doesn't it? But it happens also, spiritually speaking, too. You can have a dysfunctional family with a father who is mean and brutal, and you can have children in that family. One may turn to drugs and alcohol and crime. The other may become a Christian and even go on into the ministry or be a missionary. You see, this is what happens all the time in Christianity and when the gospel is preached. You've got some who will respond, and you have some who will not. Some will accept it, some will reject the gospel. And we wonder, well, why do people accept it and others reject it? Is it because of slick preaching? Is it because of the programs in the church? Is it because of upbringing? Or is there something else going on? And I'd have to say to you, there's something else. There's something much deeper. And it has to do with the word of God and the soil of your soul. That's what it has to do. So look at our own church, for instance. This church has done a lot. It has tried to reach out to the community. It has invited people. It has shown people fellowship. We have had a youth group. But what's happened? No response. No response. Is it our fault? Now, I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we couldn't do things better and be more faithful. But let's also be honest, a lot of the problem may not be ours. And the problem we also face as a church body is discouragement because of what's going on. And it's not just us. It's the entire church world where we see the numbers declining in various types of church. And the blame game goes on, doesn't it? It's got to be somebody's fault. And we do a lot of what goes on in America. We blame the wrong people for what the problem is. Now, the problem often is the soil of our souls. And let's delve into this passage to see what Jesus is going to tell us about what's really going on. And here's what you've got to realize. There is a mystery in this world. And it is the mystery of God's word. And you see that in the first three verses. It is a mystery of how God accomplishes his purposes in this world. But it has to do with his word. And we get a glimpse here when Jesus tells this parable. Now, he's at the seashore and he starts to preach. And he begins with a parable in verse 3. Now, a parable, it's like an analogy. It's taking something that is known to explain something that may be unknown. In this case, it is a very common agricultural image which the people back then would have been very, very familiar with. Story of a farmer who goes out and sows his seed. And you've got to get the picture. There would be a sack of seed, and the farmer would be going around, reaching in, and just throwing out the seed. And we need to understand before we look at this parable who the players are. The sower is God. Then we have the seed, which is his word, and the soil, various types of people. And think of this, it's a mystery of how this is distributed. Because God is scattering that seed indiscriminately. I want you to think about who Jesus preached to. The poor, the sick, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He was preaching to everybody. He didn't make a discrimination on who the word went out to. You got to think of it like, now I don't see this as much as we used to, but you used to have paper boys who would take the paper, they'd ride their bike, and they'd throw that paper all over the place. You'd get papers everywhere. Well, that's what the preaching of the word of God is like. It should go out indiscriminately. It should go out all over the place. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, when we look at the great expansion of the church, here's what it says. Therefore, those who were scattered were everywhere, preaching the word. Now I want you to look at our own community, for instance. Is that true? You've got your street preachers who are out proclaiming the word. You may disagree with their methods, but they are proclaiming the word. You can go down into the prisons. You can go down to these various ministries we have. The word of God is being preached. The word of God is being preached at very rich and exclusive churches. But it's also being preached in less exclusive churches. It is being preached in charismatic churches, Episcopal churches, Presbyterian churches. It's being preached all over the place. And I want you to think of all the different types of people who are listening. Cooks, cleaners, bank executives, engineers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, prisoners. And that is the way that Jesus Christ always intended it. It's not to be towards a select few. The word of God was to be scattered all over the place. And here's where the tension comes in. You know, if we go by modern standards of efficiency, we'd say it's a waste of energy because it's not focused enough. But God's kingdom doesn't work that way. What we may consider wasteful, God may be using, because the gospel and the way it works is a mystery. And we don't know exactly all the details of how it is working out. And it's also the mystery of productivity, because that farmer, he goes out, he sows that seed, some of it goes into the ground. He can't see how it works yet. It grows out of sight. It grows. It is a mystery of God's grace and productivity. And you and I don't know how God's word is affecting a soul. I came across the following story. It was about a lonely old man named Thomas who outlived all his friends. And no one was at the church and at the graveside. He had taught Sunday school in the church. But there was one person who was there, a military man of some rank. And after the ceremony, this is what he said. "You will perhaps be wondering what I'm doing here.
Years ago, Thomas was my Sunday school teacher. I was a wild lad and a sore trial to him. He never knew what he did for me, but I owe everything I am or will be to old Thomas. And today I had to come and salute him at the end. How does God's word work? Sometimes out of sight, sometimes out of mind, but it works. And people may think we aren't doing any good, but I got to tell you, if there is one person who responds to the grace of God, it was all worth it. If one sinner repents, if one soul is helped, if one person becomes a Christian, in all that we do, it's worth it. Because that person has become part of the kingdom of God. And we've got to get over this mindset that we are wasting our time by proclaiming the gospel. You just don't know what's going to happen. Now, that is the mystery of God's word, but there's something else that's going on in this passage here. There's more. And that has to do with the soil of people's soul. And here, we have to realize people will reject God's word. And why is that? Well, there's one group in this parable, the hard-hearted. You see it in verse 4 and verse 16, where it says, "He was scattering the seed and some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up." In the ancient Near East, the farmland was sown in long strips. And there were paths that ran near it. Thoroughfares. And what would happen is that because people were walking on it, and then you've got rain and more people walking on it, that soil became very hard. And of course, when the sower is going out to sow, some of the seed would fall on those very, very hard paths. And it would just hit the ground and stay there. It would not go deep. Now, Jan got a new top to her convertible, and here's what was interesting. We were looking at it one day, and after it rained, the rain was just sitting there. It wouldn't go in. I guess it's the new technology for convertible car tops, but it was just sitting there until it evaporated. Sort of the same here with the seed. It just sits there, and the birds come and get it. It doesn't go deep, and the reason is, if we look at human beings, it's because of hard-heartedness. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't like the word of God. You could give them the best evangelistic presentation. They don't care. They just don't care. How many times when we used to go out and do Christmas goodie bags would I get the door shut in my face? Because they didn't want to hear the gospel. And, you know, some people may say, well, I've been offended by the church. The preacher said X, Y, and Z. Or I'm disappointed in the church and its ministry. Oh, there's so much hypocrisy going on. Let me tell you, there is a deeper issue. You know what the deeper issue is? People just don't care about God. They're at war with God. They're angry at God. And it's not you. It's your message. It's what you believe, but it's not you. So, for example, I remember when I was in high school. Now, we had a Christian group that met in the mornings. And I remember we were meeting, and the bell rang, and we were a little slow getting out, and there was some girl banging at the door saying, "Well, what do you Christians do in heaven? Orange juice party?" She hated Christianity.
When I was at Covenant and I was working summers in a mailroom, one of the professors came up with this great little sermon. I thought it was wonderful. Gave it to one of the mail workers. That's nice. He hated God. He didn't want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God. But that's the way people are. You've got to understand. Jesus said there's going to be warfare in this world. And part of that warfare is that people don't like the message because they don't want a sovereign God who is holy and they don't want any claims on their lives. Oh, but there's more here. That's just one type of soil. There's also shallowness, and you see that in verses 5 and 6, where it says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. In the ancient world, you did have a lot of rocks, and what would happen is you would get a lot of rain, but the soil was very shallow. The water would collect for a while, and you would have some growth, but then the water dried up. And then what happened? It just disintegrated. I mean, the plant didn't live long. It died. And what does Jesus say about this type of soul in verses 20 and 21? He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What Jesus is telling us is that there are some people who will react at first very positively towards Christianity. But the moment there is any trouble, they don't stick. And in today's society, where Christianity is a stigma, that's going to happen. Because people don't want to face rejection from friends or family. They will say such things as, you're a pilgrim. Oh, he's religious. He's a Puritan. The stigma of following Christ will cost you. And there's some people who just don't want to deal with that. How many times do we see people who are in a church for a while? They're all joyful. But then they leave. And it's probably because of shallowness. They don't want to put up with the troubles of following Christ. It's not us. And there's one other here. There's the lack of commitment. You see that in verse 7. Other seed fell upon the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And if you look in verse 22, it tells us, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. So here's what you got. There are other things that are more important than the kingdom of God. That's why people aren't interested in Christianity. There are other things that are more important. And I want you to think of what's gone on in our culture. Now, we can blame all the anti-Christian forces, yes. But you know what I think is really at the root of a lot of it? We've become so busy, and we have made a conscious or either unconscious decision, church is not the priority. The kingdom of God is not the priority. The ball games will be the priority. Your trips with your friends, that's the priority. And our schedules get so full, we don't have time for the kingdom of God. And let's be honest, it's just not that important to a lot of people. That's the shallowness of it all. In Mark 8:36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Charles Spurgeon, the Baptist pastor, said this: there is only a certain amount of thought and energy in a person, and if the world gets it, Christ cannot have it. And isn't that exactly what's happening a lot? It's not the anti-Christian message necessarily. It's you just don't want to make time in your schedule for. And that's what happens to a lot of people because there are other things that are more important. The entertainment, the hobbies, the sports, whatever. Now, if Jesus left us at this point, oh, it would be a sad state of affairs, wouldn't it? But he tells us about one other type of soil. And you find it in verse 7 and 28. Other seed fell, in verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. It produced. It grew. Someone is hearing the word. They're taking it into their souls. And they're producing. It's not a mountaintop experience that we're looking for here. It's what the word of God is doing in your soul. Let me give you an excellent example of this. It is by Louis Palou. Louis Palou was a South American evangelist. He was sort of the Billy Graham of South America. And he told the story one time, a true story, about Rosario, who was a terrorist, an expert in martial arts, who was known to have killed people, policemen. But he went to one of Louis Palou's revival services. He hated the message, but he repented, became a Christian. And 10 years later, he assisted in planting 5 churches and founded orphanages and homes for children. The message blossomed in his soul. Now, you may not be like this person with the terrible background, who had a dramatic conversion. You may not have the resources to start out and build orphanages. But there are untold stories of men and women and boys and girls who have received the word of God, and they have supported their church and the kingdom of God in whatever way they can. That is an example of the fruitfulness of the gospel. It doesn't have to be dramatic. There's a lot of lesser lights in this world which still shine brightly. But that's what God wants to see. Now, why have I told you this morning? Because of what's going on in the world. It is difficult to be a Christian. This is not the 1950s anymore. It is a different age. And the worst thing that we can do is start blaming ourselves, looking down on what we do, having no confidence at all in the gospel. What we really need to be thinking about is the soil of people's souls. And don't blame God. The blame is with the soul. And what people really want in life. And maybe right now what is happening in America is we're beginning to see that there are those who may have claimed to be Christians, but they're really not. The soil that produces. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we ask now that word will be sown in more people's hearts, because we know that if it is, that soil of our soul must be broken. So we ask that you will plow that seed into more people's hearts and help us to trust in you and the plan for your kingdom. Amen.